Look at your neighbor and tell him you are blessed and highly favored of God, and you're in the right place today. Hallelujah. I want you to turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6, my subject, Breaking into Jericho. I preach from this text many times, but I've never seen it the way God gave it to me this time. And many of you sitting out here and watching by live stream and Facebook Live and listening by Willie Radio, you have been through the wilderness. Many of you have survived some tough issues in life, and you have faced some hard times. But if you stop short of what God has purposed for your life, all that you have endured will be in vain and amount to nothing. Somewhere between you and what you seek is a place called Jericho. And if you can overcome your Jericho, then you can have it all. I'm reading from Joshua chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. They have surrounded the place. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all you men of war, go around it about the city once. Thou shalt do six times. And the priests shall bow before the ark of seven trumpets of ram horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpet. Verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the walls of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. My subject this morning, breaking into Jericho. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the songs that have been sung, for the testimonies, and Lord, how this place is full of your presence and your anointing and your glory. And Father, we praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that as the word is preached this morning, the things you have placed in my heart and the words you have spoken to me, let them split soul and spirit asunder, go deep into the hearts of those that are hearing the word. And Lord, let it bring forth of itself, first the blade, then the ear, after that, the full corn, full deliverance, full victory. In Jesus' mighty name, the church said, amen. The Bible says, now Jericho was straitly shut up, and none went out, and none came in. And the Lord told Joshua, he said, I have given Jericho, the king of Jericho, and the mighty men of valor into your hands. How many things has God promised you? God gave Joshua and the children of Israel specific instructions on how to fight their battle. God was looking for faith, and God was looking for obedience. And God let them know, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to fight your battles, and you are going to win. For 430 years, Israel had been in captivity in the land of Egypt. And God heard the cry of his people. He raised up a man from among them, a man named Moses. And Moses' assignment was to deliver God's people out of bondage. Sound like a preacher to me. Hallelujah. That's the job of a preacher. He's to preach the word of God with such anointing, such power, that God delivers people out of bondage. Now, these people, they ended up in the wilderness trying to understand who they are in God. And because of their own carnality, they went through a series of adversities. And it's during this process that God is trying to take out of them what they were once into. And that's what salvation is all about. God delivers us from it, and then he delivers it out of you. And that's what sanctification is all about. And if you're going to cross over into God's tomorrow and what he has planned for your life, you will have to sanctify yourself. Now, the Bible says we're sanctified by the blood, we're sanctified by the word, we're sanctified by the Holy Ghost, but none of that will happen until you decide to get sanctified yourself. So there's a part of the process that you must do. Sanctification is the operation of God. It is the cooperation of man, and you're going to have to cooperate with what God wants to do in your life. It's called the crucifixion of the old man. It's where you put off the old man with his deceitful lust, and you put on the new man that is created in righteousness and true holiness. You can call it sanctification, consecration, commitment, a second work of grace. You can call it full surrender. Call it whatever you want to. But no matter whatever you call it, once you are saved, you will have to deal with your old sinful habits and your shortcomings. And church, we have had some powerful, powerful services here at Westmoreland. Think about the salvations we've seen, the sanctified power of God, people filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, deliverances, healings, and miracles. We're putting together a series of the testimonies just to put it out there on YouTube. We're going to put it out there so the whole world can see it. Hallelujah. And there is no reason for anyone in this place not to understand God's grace and God's plan for your life. It's time for the church to cross over into God's tomorrow. For 40 years, the children of Israel, they had wandered in the wilderness. And finally, they came to the day that they had been dreaming of. Finally, they came to the day that they had been longing for. Finally, the day came when the prophet said, "It is time to cross over." No more wandering in the wilderness. No more being put on hold. No more dreaming about a land flowing with milk and honey. But it's time to cross over. But I want you to know something. Before you can cross over, you must sanctify yourself. God spoke to me and carried me back to Joshua 3. God said, "I'm giving you the city, but I want you to know what happened before this incredible promise came to pass." And I had to go back to Joshua chapter 3 to pick it up. Look at Joshua chapter 3, beginning verse 2. "It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant,'" that represented God's presence, "'the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it," bearing the presence of God, "'then ye shall remove from your place,'" and I like this, "'and go after it. You shall, yet there shall be a space between you and it of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before.'" Now, some of you, you're saved, but you never passed into what God wants you to pass into. Look at verse 5. "Joshua said unto the people, 'Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" They were getting ready to face their Jericho, and the time had come to cross over. And God had promised them, "Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders in your midst." But I want you to notice the condition that was attached to that promise. The prophet said, "Sanctify yourself today, and tomorrow God will do wonders among you." God had given Israel some definite promises. And just before they entered the promised land, God told them to sanctify themselves. God, in speaking to the church in the New Testament, He gives a similar command. Look at 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, talking about the promises of God. The Bible says all the promises of God in Christ, they are yes, and the amen is spoken by us to bring glory to God. You don't have to pray, "Is it your will to do this, God?" All you got to do is read the book and find out God's will. Find out what Jesus did. Watch Jesus walk through this Bible. And he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He said, "The works I do, they're not my works, but they're the works of him that sent me." He said, "I come to do thy will, O God." He is Jesus Christ, is God incarnate in the flesh. The Word was made flesh. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So if you want to know God's will in your life, read the book. Come hear some Holy Ghost anointed preaching and see some signs and wonders that follow the preaching of the Word, and you will know the will of God. Somebody go and praise God in this place. Hallelujah. But I want you to look at the command that was given in 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Paul the Apostle said, Having therefore these promises, dear the beloved, aren't you glad you're in the beloved? Aren't you glad that God loves you? Aren't you glad that God chose you? Aren't you glad that your name is written in the book? Aren't you glad that you're more than a conqueror through him that loved you and gave himself for you? Aren't you glad that God always causes you to triumph in Christ Jesus? Aren't you glad that no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper? Aren't you glad that when the spirit of the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him? Aren't you glad? Can't you just give him a praise? Let's just take a praise break for everything Jesus has done for us. Come on and praise him. Glory to God. I'm so glad my name is in the book. I'm glad, praise God, that I've crossed over into what God has purposed for my life. And I come with a message today to help some of you that are struggling to cross over into your tomorrows. Hallelujah. So Paul said, having these promises, cleanse ourselves. So cleansing follows sonship. In other words, sanctification follows being born again. And once we are saved, we are to cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh. And as the body of Christ, we are to love holiness. And the Bible says we are to perfect holiness. It says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And look at this, the first part of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. It's amazing that it goes on to say that you should abstain from fornication. The first sin God says I don't want you indulging is a sexual sin. And we got people in the body of Christ. Oh, my God. The Bible says, Know ye not the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither adulterers or fornicators or liars or thieves or effeminates. That's homosexuals and lesbians. We love those that are mixed all up and they're not free to worship God. And they have alternative lifestyles. Our culture would call it an alternative lifestyle. God calls it an abomination. And that's what it is in God's sight. Thank God, God created normal people. He did not create homosexuals and lesbians. He created normal people. And Jesus said, the truth will make you free. We love them, praise God, but people need to know the truth. And if you love someone, you will preach the truth of God's word to them. You will not leave them where they are. As a preacher, I cannot leave you where you are. I'd much rather preach on how good God is, and I'd much rather preach on his healing and his provision. But praise God, you got to take the whole word, and you got to rightly divide it. God said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. God said, I want you to know my will for your life. And it starts out with you setting yourself apart to do the will of God. And church, when you sanctify yourself, God begins to order your steps. He will order your steps and he will order your stops. He'll say, don't you do that. Don't you go there. You know better than that. So sanctification, when you sanctify yourself, God begins to order your steps and stops. When you sanctify yourself, God begins to bring the right people into your life. When you sanctify yourself, God begins to open the right doors. When you sanctify yourself, God begins to give you revelational knowledge that will help you to be a conqueror, more than a conqueror in Christ. When you sanctify yourself, God begins to bring you out. And before you know it, you are standing right in the center of God's will for your life. Hallelujah. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable unto the will of God. Hallelujah. And he talks about a good will and a perfect will. I want to be in God's perfect will. And if you're ever going to get everything God has purposed for your life, you will have to make it your goal in life to seek him with all of your heart and get God's direction. Some of you are saved, but you're still struggling with your yesterday. And some of you are still trying to get it out of you. And some of you got out of it, but it is not out of you. And the longer it is still in you, the longer you will wander in your wilderness, whatever your it is. Some people can't go on with God. Simply because they will not obey God. They got out of Egypt, but Egypt has not gotten out of them. God promised to do some amazing things for those who would sanctify themselves. He said, for tomorrow, I want you to sanctify yourself. And if you will sanctify yourself today, then tomorrow I will move in on you and do great things. Look at Joshua 3:3 again. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, bearing the presence of God, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. I told Brother Philip, I said, I feel like getting a bunch of, I did this in a sermon. I don't have many of them left, but sometimes, praise God, you know, you got to move with God. When you see God moving, when you see the presence of God moving, you got to go after it. Hallelujah. If you want the anointing, if you want healing, those claws have been prayed over. You got to go after it. Hallelujah. That's what God said. When you see the presence of God fall, then go after it. Woo! Hallelujah. It's time for the church to arise and shine. Her day has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Hallelujah to the Lamb. God says, the Levites bearing this ark, they shall remove, you shall remove from your place and go after it. See, it's the responsibility of the priest or the pastor to carry the heavy load. That's my assignment. That's Pastor Ricky's assignment. That's Pastor Nate's assignment. Amen. See, the pastor, he's got to hear from God, and he's got to know when it's time to move. And God has been moving in great power in this church, and that is a table that has been spread. And when you get into God's presence, you get everything that's in God. And God has spread a banquet table for us, and anything and everything is on that table. Look at the healings you have witnessed. Look at the people that God has delivered. Look at the people that can testify and say, God moved into my life and changed my whole world. See, there's healing on that table that God has spread. There is salvation on that table. There are miracles on that table. There are provisions of all types on that table that God has spread. Solomon said he carried me down to his banquet room, and his banner over me was love. Woo! He's a God of love. God is for you, and if God be for you, who can be against you? There are devils, and there are people that will try to bring you down. But Jesus said, I have come to lift you up. When Peter was sinking, as he was walking on the water, he got his eyes off Jesus, and he said, Lord. And Jesus reached down. He didn't get down in the murk and the mire with him, like some people go back into the clubs. No, he reached down, stayed on top of the water, and lifted him up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is a lifter. And if he lifted Peter, he'll lift you. Go and praise him for his wonderful works to the children of men. Glory to God. See, that ark, it represented the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. And look at the miracles that we have seen. They represent the presence of the Lord. We've got people in this church that no one has laid a hand upon them. Jesus has walked among the golden candlesticks, and he laid his hand upon them. Hallelujah. He honors his word. Have you got any scripture for that? Look up Psalms 107, verse 20. Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent his word and delivered them, and delivered them from their destruction. And it goes on to say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Paul's in prison. Paul said, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice evermore. Again, I say, rejoice. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're going through, but God does. And God's word to you today is rejoice. My weapon is a melody. He put a new song in my heart. Glory to God. Have you got a song? He'll put one in there. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Hasha, kobo, raha, remoko shandaya. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's a good God. Hallelujah. I don't care how comfortable you are. When you see the ark of the presence of God moving, you need to go after it. When you see that God is trying to move you, that's the time to move from your place and go after it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. But when you see the presence of the Lord on the preacher, and you know God has sent you an anointed word, that preacher is bearing his presence. Hallelujah. And you need to move on what the preacher is preaching. If he's preaching the word of God, if he is anointed by God, if he has heard from God, and you need to move from where you are, and you need to go after God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Hallelujah. Love God first and love your neighbor as yourself. Go and praise him. Hallelujah. Go after it. What is God saying to you? What has God promised you? What is God trying to do in your life? You've dreamed about it. You've prayed about it. It's been prophesied over you. It's been spoken over you. Oh, we got a word from God. Restoration. Paul Jackson called me in 2018, and it's still down in my spirit. He said, I got one word from God for you. I said, what is that? He said, restoration. I don't know what it means, but we know what it means, don't we? We watch God put lives together. We watch God fulfill dreams. We have wonderful testimonies of what God is doing. Some people that got their song back. They got their joy back. Their praise. Woo, go on, praise him. I see it. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. Oh, I was depressed. Well, God said, he is not giving us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. We have the mind of Christ, and we are who God said we are. We have what God said we have. We can do what God says we can do, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There comes a time when you have to do more than wonder about what God has said. There comes a point when you have to move out in faith and go after it. God works when he sees faith in action. If you want deliverance, go after it. If you want healing, go after it. If you want a financial breakthrough, go after it. If you need a miracle, go after it. If you have a dream, go after it. If you have a calling on your life, praise God, go after it. If you want a ministry, go after it. If you want a family, go after it. God knows when it's time for you to move, and God knows when he speaks to you, you're supposed to move out and go after it. Hallelujah. And church, we need to sanctify ourselves today, because the blessings of your future are greater than anything God has ever done. Let me say that again. We need to sanctify ourselves today, because the blessings of God that he has for your future, they are greater than anything you have ever seen God do in the past. Sanctify yourself. We need sanctified motives. We need sanctified desires. We need sanctified attitudes. Hallelujah. And when God's presence is in the church, like God is present in this church, you need to move from where you are and you need to go after it. It is a dangerous thing not to obey God. It is a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He's a loving God, but I'm going to tell you something. God has promises that have conditions associated with them, and God will work with you a long time. But when God starts speaking to you specifically about an issue, and you refuse to obey the Spirit of God, you are doing despite to the spirit of grace, and you will find yourself in trouble. Put Hosea, I believe it's 5:15 up there. I got to say this. God, I want you to see this. Hosea 5:15. And this is not in my text, so this is just for somebody that has a wrong spirit. God said, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. This is a warning, okay? In their affliction, they will seek me early. You do wrong, you keep doing people wrong, you keep offending people, and I promise you, on the authority of God's word, you will find yourself in the place of affliction. God said, I've tried to help you. I've spoken to you. I've sent prophets into your midst. I've sent the anointing of the Spirit into your midst, but you will not hear me. God says, put it back up there. I'm preaching from it. Hallelujah. It's not in my notes. God said, I will go to my place of rest until you seek my face. You're going to have to, some of you, you're going to have to get down on your knees and say, God, I am so sorry for my attitude and the way I've worked. Who am I preaching to? God, I am so sorry for the way I have treated people that are created in your image. God, I am so sorry that I have stood against the man of God, the prophet of God that you sent to preach the word. There are people in the church like that. Don't you know that? What causes church splits is people with a hateful attitude. But praise God, we're going to have unity. We're going to have faith. We're going to have love in this place because I'm going to preach the word of God till I hammer that wall down in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I can preach about it to you. But there comes a time when you've got to decide. There comes a time when you must sanctify yourself. God never put that responsibility on the preacher. Oh, no. The preacher is to come with a word from God that ushers in the presence of God. But I want you to notice what God said. God said, sanctify yourself. See, the responsibility, it rests on you, so you have to do it. Oh, I wish God would take this from me. Sanctify yourself. I wish God would deliver me. Sanctify yourself and call upon the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that old evil habit, it will bow its knees to the name of Jesus and the power of the blood and the preaching of the cross when you call upon that name. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can preach it, but you got to do it. I can preach it, but you got to want it. It's a decision you have to make to sanctify yourself. God said, I want you to know that I'm on the move. And when God is on the move, we need to move with God. God said, I want you to know that tomorrow I will do miracles in your life if you will meet my criteria today and sanctify yourself. God told the people of Israel, sanctify yourself today. And when these people gathered on the banks of the water the next morning, Joshua, the prophet of God, God will send you a voice. God said, it's time to cross over. And the people stepped out into the water. They moved. They saw the presence of God. The priests bearing the ark, they put their feet in the water first. And the waters rolled back. What a miracle. Hallelujah. But then the people, they had to step out into the water and cross over. Some of you, you need to get off the edge and get right in the middle of what God is doing. Can I get a hallelujah? You'd be surprised how long you can wander. Think about it. 40 years of almost there. 40 years of just about. 40 years of being on the verge of it. 40 years of almost. Let me ask you, how long have you been wandering? You can wander and still get miracles from God. You can wander and get the blessings of God. You can wander and get a job. You can wander and have prosperity. You can wander and still buy houses, still get married, still have babies, still have friends, and still not come into your divine purpose. God said, I know the thoughts I have for you. God has a plan for every person's life. Where are you living? In the good, the acceptable, or the perfect will of God? You can wander for years and years and not know who you are or what you are in Christ Jesus. God did some wonderful things in the midst of these people. Yet they could not come to grips with who they were in God. And they died in the wilderness, never obtaining the promise. A lot of people die in the wilderness with the blessings of God in their hands. They get the blessing, but not the blessing. They get the healing, but not the healer. They get the provision, but not the provider. A lot of people get gifts from God and the provisions of God. But if you don't get Him, if you don't have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, then you don't have anything at all. You can literally die in the wilderness, not becoming what God has purpose for you to become. The nation of Israel, they died in the wilderness. So God raised up a generation. I call them the desert babies. They were born in the wilderness. They were born in the wilderness, and unlike their parents, they did not have a slave mentality. Amen. They grew up, and they came up out of the wilderness ready to go into the promised land. I can just see them come out of that tent. They would pull the flap back and look up and say, "Mama, Mama, Daddy, the clouds are moving. We got to break camp. We got to move." They were depending on God. And once you're born again, you are to put your total confidence, your total trust, and your total faith in Jesus Christ, the one that bought you with his precious blood, the one who saved you, the one who washed you. Woo! I get so happy, I just have to take myself a praise break. When I think about where he brought me from and where I am today and what he's done in my life, it just makes me want to shout. Let's give him a shout. Go on, shout and praise him. What he's done for you. Hallelujah! I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Hallelujah. I want to help you cross over into your tomorrow. But somewhere between you and what you're seeking, there's a place called Jericho. And if you can overcome your Jericho, you can have it all. Look at Ephesians 6 and 12. Apostle Paul talks about our weapons, talks about the warfare we're in. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So if our warfare is not natural, then our Jericho is not natural. Jericho is the first battle that you have to fight and win before you can possess the things that God has purposed for your life. And when it comes to the spiritual realm, Jericho is your mind, your mindset, is your will. What have you decided to do? And if you don't win the battle over your mind, you will never win the battles that come thereafter. The enemy knows that the mind is a stronghold. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if my thinking is not right, then I cannot be healed. If my thinking is not right, I cannot be delivered. If my thinking is not right, I cannot embrace the things of God. And that's why the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Jesus humbled himself. Jesus submitted himself to the will of God. And because he submitted himself in total surrender to God, God highly exalted him. If you will surrender yourself to the total will of God and what he is saying to you, God will exalt you. He'll exalt you in the business world. You'll not have to push yourself there. God will just push you right on up to the top. You'll rise like cream. Hallelujah. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Glory to God. God wants to purge our minds. God wants to cleanse our mind. God wants to renew our mind. He wants to transform our mind. And he does that by the word of God. It's the washing of the water of the word that sanctifies us. It separates us and it conforms us to the image of God and to the will of God. And that's why you need good Holy Ghost anointed preaching, a man sent by God. Oh, woman, amen. And the anointing destroys the yoke, because it's not by power nor by might, but it's God's way, and God's way is by his Spirit. Did you ever wonder when you got saved? Do you ever think about the wonderful thing that God did for you? He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He changed your entire eternal destiny. Hallelujah. But once you're saved, you are to press on into true holiness. The Bible says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up I'm going to tell you something. That city was completely shut up. It was walled in on every side. Let me talk to you about your walls. How do you break through a barrier to get into the promises of God? Walls are what you build to protect yourself from future pain. Walls are what you build when your heart has been broken and you're determined not to let it happen again. Walls are what you build to keep people from getting in and getting real close to you. But the worst thing is you are straightly shut up. The walls you have built to keep other people out, those same walls, they have imprisoned you. And now no one can get in. But guess what? You cannot get out. Some of you could have had better jobs, but there in the interview, they saw your walls. And they decided they did not want to bother with you. Some of you could accomplish great things in life, but nobody can get through your walls. You'd be surprised at those that are here today that are living behind walls. You can't see them, but the walls, I promise you, they are there. Jericho was straightly shut up. God wants to take you from your wilderness into the promised land. But first of all, the walls must fall at Jericho. And in the text I read, God tells his people exactly how to win the battles of life. But before he said, sanctify, when he said, sanctify yourself, he said, I want you to sanctify yourself today so I can do miracles in your life tomorrow. And when they met the condition that God had given them, guess what? God gave them their marching orders. God said, I've given the city into your hands. So take the men of war, march around the walls every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, I want you to march around those walls 7 times. When God says 7, 5 won't do. When God says 7, 6 won't do. When God says 7, God means 7. Now, when the priest, they blew the ram's horn, and he said, when you hear the priest blow that ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, he said, then I want the people to shout with a great shout, and the walls of Jericho will come tumbling down. There's something called obedience, and the only way you can ever get your walls to fall is to obey God. Joshua 6 and 10. I close with this. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then you shall shout. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest heartaches that I have. One of the greatest problems in the church today is that the people of God do not obey the word of God, and they will not obey the word of God from the man of God that God sends to preach to them. But I need to tell you this. Somewhere between you and what you seek in life, there is a place called Jericho. And if you can overcome your Jericho, you can have it all. There was a woman behind those walls. She was not a good woman. Her name was Rahab. Rahab the harlot. Rahab the hooker, Rahab the tramp, Rahab the prostitute that worked the red light district of Jericho. But she wanted a change. And when those walls came tumbling down, she accepted the God of Israel. And Rahab the hooker, Rahab the harlot, she became the great, 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 great grandmother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered what you could become if you would totally submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Let us stand. Hallelujah. Breaking into Jericho. Hallelujah.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah!
There is power.
Jesus, Master Jesus, one in charge. Jesus, one in control. Jesus, it's me, Lord. It's me calling out to your name. Break them, Lord.
Break every chain.
Lord, I'm walled in. I got some chains, but I want you to break them. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, Master.
There is power.
Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, Lord, I don't like what I've become. I need a change. Break every chain. Lord, I don't like who I am. I don't like how I feel. I just need a change. Break every chain. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. But I've come short of your glory. So I ask you to work on me and break every chain. Conform me to your image. Conform me, Lord. I'm willing, Lord, to die to myself, to take up the cross, to follow you. Just break every chain, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Power.
In
the name of Jesus, break every chain. Oh God,
there is power.
Sanctify me, Lord, from the anger. Sanctify me
to break
from feelings that are wrong toward the opposite sex. Sanctify me, Lord, from how I feel and I won't forgive people, God. Sanctify me, God, and help me break every chain, Lord. I'm ready to cross over into my tomorrow. Lord, I'm tired of where I am.
Hallelujah.
I want to cross over. I know you saved me, Lord, but I'm still struggling with yesterday. I still have mindsets, God, that I'm dealing with. God, break every chain. Oh, God, deliver me.